Lord to bless our coming together. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse number 1. Luke chapter 19, beginning to read at verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. They ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious and inspired word to our hearts this evening. I'm sure, like me, you used to sing the little choruses about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You'll only read about Zacchaeus in Luke's Gospel. You'll only read about him in Luke chapter 19. There are only 10 verses devoted to his story. And yet he's a famous character, known to most of the children who have ever attended Sunday school, and known to most of the believers who have grown up loving this little story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, his name means pure, or it means righteous. That would indicate to me that his parents had great hope for him. That would indicate to me that when he was born, his mum and dad hoped and prayed that he would become a righteous man, that he would become a pure man, that if we could put it into this day and age, that he might be saved by the grace of God, that he might have his sins forgiven. However, we discover in our reading that he was a publican. Now, that's not a man who ran a public house. That's a tax collector. And the idea of a righteous man being a tax collector, well, there were a contradiction in terms. It's like saying black snow or warm snow. It's like saying a cold fire. It's just a contradiction in terms. Now, that doesn't mean today that tax collectors aren't men or women of God. I'm sure there are many who are saved by the grace of God. But in those days, that was an indication that they weren't living a pure or a righteous life. And the taxes, Zacchaeus is called the chief of the publicans. That means he was in charge of a district. Rome divided Palestine into three different areas. It divided it into the north and into the south. And then there was the area around Capernaum as well. He, Zacchaeus, was in charge of the area around Jericho. And really what Rome would say to Zacchaeus was, we want, and I'm just using a figure that we would understand, we want £1 million from the area we're giving you. We don't care what you collect. So what the tax collectors did, and every one of them was guilty of this, they could have lifted £2 million. And so they paid Rome £1 million, and they put the other million into their own pocket. And so it was a lucrative business, but with this business came the hatred of their own people, because you were seen as a traitor. You were seen as a dishonest person. You had changed sides, if you like. You had went with the occupying force, Rome, and not only were you betraying the cause, but you're also fleecing the people and taking money from them. There was a time in Zacchaeus' life when he made a decision. He decided, I'm going to join the other side. I'm going to go all out for money. I don't care how I get it. Don't care how I achieve it. But that's going to be the one thing that I'm going to go for. I'm going to be crooked. I'm going to be dishonest. But that didn't matter. And he made a choice to go in that direction, a direction that wasn't pure, a direction that wasn't righteous. There comes times in all of our lives when we have choices to make. Businessmen have choices to make. Employees have choices to make. Young people have choices to make. Young ladies have choices to make. Am I going to live a pure life? Young men have choices to make. Am I going to live a pure life according to the Word of God? Am I going to go by the soap opera standards? Am I going to go by the standards of the Word of God? And so all of us have decisions and choices to make in life. He had made a terrible choice. He was a publican. He was, if you like, a defiled man. I wonder had his mum and dad given up on him. I wonder had they decided, well, he's gone too far. I wonder if they even stopped praying for him. I wonder did Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector and Matthew was saved by the grace of God, and no doubt he would have known Zacchaeus, and no doubt they had been at some gatherings together, and no doubt he would have been praying for all the tax collectors, maybe even specifically praying for Zacchaeus. Had mum and dad given up on him? I wonder is there a mum and dad here tonight and you've given up on him? Well, the little story of Zacchaeus would say, don't give up on him. He's not too far for God to save. He's not too bad for God to save. He's not too far for the Lord Jesus to reach into his heart and convict him of his sin and lead to that genuine and true conversion. You, like Matthew, you keep on praying for him. It's never too late for God to reach them. One day, little Zacchaeus climbed up a tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was never the same. Indeed, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. There was a day when salvation came to the home of Zacchaeus. Maybe today will be your day. Maybe tonight will be your night when salvation will come to you. I want to break the story down very simply. I believe in verse number 10. If you look at verse number 10, it's a wonderful text of Scripture. There's not one word in it with more than one syllable. I like that. It's simple, and it's simple for simple people like me. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I believe the whole story of Zacchaeus is encapsulated in that text of Scripture. Because you see the Son of Man coming, you see him seeking, and you see him saving, and you see him saving the one that was lost. And I'm going to commence this evening with a very simple point. I've just called it, if you really knew. If you really knew what was in this text of Scripture, I believe you would seek and find the Lord this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't use empty words. There's a new word. Indeed, the word of the year is post-truth, according to the Oxford Dictionary. And what they really say is that we've gone beyond the age of truth. Now, truth doesn't matter. Excitement is more important than truth. Hyping people up is more important than truth. And they say we now live in a post-truth age. Sadly, spiritually, that's true. But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, there's no post-truth, it's truth. Thy Word is truth. And when you read that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, you can believe it tonight. You can put your life on it tonight. Let us know, first of all, Christ in our text. For the Son of Man. You know, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was God manifest in flesh. He was fully God. He wasn't less of God than he was when he was glory. He was fully God. And yet he was the Son of Man. He was fully man. Great is the mystery of godliness. The Creator, the one who created all things, the all-powerful, all-knowing, sinless, perfect one, took upon him human flesh. So he was God and he was man. You know that should come before you tonight when you realize who he is. When you realize who's speaking tonight. When you realize that it's not the pastor tonight. It's the Son of Man tonight. It's the Son of God tonight. If you really knew who was speaking tonight, then you would listen. Maybe you've heard it so many times. Maybe you've listened to so many gospel messages and so many gospel meetings down through so many years, and you've heard it all before. But I want to remind you tonight that Jesus Christ is the one that's speaking tonight. For the Son of Man tonight. If you really knew who was speaking tonight, I believe you would listen. You see not only Christ, you see the condescension. For the Son of Man is come. Even though he was fully God, even though he was in eternity with God the Father, yet he left the splendor and the glories of heaven and he come into this world. And he come into this world, as the text says, to seek and to save that which was lost. We'll soon be thinking about Christmas. It's only a few weeks away when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ being born as that little babe in Bethlehem. And how precious and how important is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in flesh. He stepped down. And what a stoop it was to take upon him human flesh. If you really knew tonight, if you really knew the distance he traveled, that he could be your Savior. And yet tonight you're not listening to him. And yet tonight you've turned him away. Even though he left heaven and came into the world. If you really knew tonight. You see Christ, you see the condescension, you see the compassion in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek. Now, look at the little story of Zacchaeus and you can see the Lord Jesus Christ seeking. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I'm going to break it down very simply. I want you to think of the place. My youngest brother, he had trouble with foxes. You know, he keeps a few hens. And twice now, a fox has come and he said, no hens left. They've made an absolute mess. So Jess determined, if Mr. Fox comes back, he's going to get it. And he's got himself a gun. And he was telling me that he can hit a golf ball at 100 yards. Now, I don't know whether that's good or not. I couldn't see a golf ball 100 yards away. But he says he can hit a golf ball 100 yards away. He can kill a fox at 150 yards. And if he gets the fox in the sights, Mr. Fox is gone. And if Mr. Fox is listening to this message, don't go near Coke. I see one up around Emdale Cross. There's a fox seems to run about there. It's maybe safe enough, but if it was up in Tyrone, I think my brother would try and shoot it. But you know, this gun is so accurate, it can just hit the very spot. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. Come to the very spot. He come to the place where Zacchaeus was, and he was going to hit him on the very spot. He was going to hit him right in the heart. And that's what the Lord does. And maybe he's come tonight, and he's just putting his finger in your heart tonight. And he just hits the spot, doesn't he? You see, he has come to seek. You see his compassion. Notice the place. Notice his peering. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. It was a look of love. It was a look of compassion. It was all of grace. Little Zacchaeus didn't deserve the Lord Jesus to stop and speak to him. He was a sinner. Most of the people there wouldn't have looked the road he was on. Most of the people would have turned and gone another way. They probably would have booed him, maybe jeered him, maybe spat upon him. And he's up this tree, as we'll see in a moment, and the Lord Jesus comes to the very spot, and the Lord looks up to him. And it's a look of love, and it's a look of compassion. It's interesting when you read through the New Testament, the love that the Lord Jesus Christ seemed to have for publicans. As I said, Matthew was a tax collector, became one of his disciples. Remember, the Lord told the parable about the publican and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee was self-righteous. He says, I thank God I'm not like other men. And he gives a big list of everything that he does. But the publican was different. He couldn't even lift his head up. And at the end of it, he just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You meet publicans throughout Scripture, and it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ had a heart for them. On another occasion, he said, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God ahead of you, speaking to a self-righteous crowd. And here's a man, and he's such a sinner, he's so far away from God, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ has taken time to come to the very place, and the Lord's looking him straight in the eyes. And maybe tonight, spiritually, that's what the Lord's doing with you. He's just getting to where you are, and he's just looking you straight in the eyes tonight because he wants to speak to you. Now remember who he is tonight. He's the Lord of glory tonight. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God tonight. If I was you, I would listen if you really knew tonight. Remember how far he has come tonight just to speak to you. You see, as we think of his compassion, you see the place, you see his peering. Look how personal it is. In verse number 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his name. He'd never met him before. He'd never been introduced before. No one told him who he was, but the Lord is the all-knowing Savior, and he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus. I'm sure in that town, Zacchaeus was a bad name. You know, sometimes if a name becomes associated with something dreadful, people won't use that name. I mean, no one would ever call their daughter Jezebel. It's a name, and no one would ever call their son Judas. It's a name that has just been discarded. It's a name that no one wants to use. Although this week I was reading there's a couple in France and she had a baby, or else she's expecting a baby, and she's going to name it after one of the terrorists that attacked France. That's a despicable name to give to a child, isn't it? And Zacchaeus was a name that no one would ever have called their child Zacchaeus in that area, because he'd have been so known for being crooked and twisted, and the name would have been associated with it. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, Zacchaeus. And he calls him personally. You see the plea he makes, and I'm just showing you how the Lord is seeking here tonight. He said in verse 5, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It's an urgent call. Make haste and come down. Look at the period. Make haste and come down, for today. You see, it's not anytime soon. Sometimes you get a message, and if you ask the person, when do you want it, they come back with ASAP, as soon as possible. This wasn't as soon as possible. This was quicker than that. It was today. Now, this very moment. For you in the meeting, it's tonight. The Lord Jesus has come to the place, and he's looking at you tonight, and he's speaking to you tonight, and he's calling you by name tonight, and you can hear him speaking to you tonight, and he says, today. And it's very important, the word today. Because if you read through Luke's gospel, you discover what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. In Luke 9, verse 51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. Luke 13, 22, he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Luke 17, verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Luke 18, verse 31, and he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Do you see the pattern? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Calvary. Look at Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus had started the journey. He was making his way to Calvary. He knew that he was going to die. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew everything that was going to happen, and yet he was going to Jerusalem. And if I thought I was going to a place and I was going to be attacked, I would avoid that place like a rash. The Lord knew what was going to happen, and yet he's on his way to Jerusalem. This is the last time the man Christ Jesus in his bodily form would ever pass through Jericho. And so today was very important. And I don't know, but tonight could be very important for you. Tonight could be the last night that he passes this way. Tonight could be the last opportunity for you to be saved. For little Zacchaeus, tomorrow would be too late. For little Zacchaeus, next week wouldn't do. Today. Had to be then. Had to be now. There was no opportunity tomorrow. He had to get sorted. And he had to get sorted today. If you only knew. If you only knew this could be the last time. If you only knew this could be the last meeting you'll ever sit in. You see Christ, you see the condescension, you see the compassion. He has come to seek and to save. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. For Jesus Christ to be the Savior, he was going to have to die. For Jesus Christ to be able to save, he was going to have to pay the price of our redemption. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ would go and he would die. He would pay for our redemption. He would rise again and he would abolish death. You know, there's a young girl, 14 years of age, you knew all about it, was on the news. And she won the court case, even though she was dead, that her body would be taken to the United States, where it would be frozen. And when they have the technology to be able to bring her back to life, and when they have the technology to be able to cure the cancer, Then she has won the right to be frozen until that day has come. And now we have to feel sorry for the young girl at 14 years of age losing her life to cancer. Your heart has to break for her and you have to see it as a very difficult thing. But listen, Christ already has abolished death. And the cure is already there. And she's paying £37,000 for nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and has already abolished death. And if somebody had told that little girl, you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not have to look to science. But the moment you close your eyes in death, you'll open them in glory. Because he's already defeated sin and death and hell. 37,000 is an awful lot of money to waste, but listen. What it cost for you and I to have eternal life cost even more than that. Because it cost Jesus Christ everything. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there, they crucified him. Isaiah asks a question in Isaiah 5 verse 4, and this is God asking to Israel, but I'm applying it to those who are not saved tonight. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? It's a picture of Israel, and Israel rejected the Lord, and he's asking the question, what more could I have done for you? What more could I have done for you? And the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, remember, he's come to this place, he's come to speak to you tonight, and he's saying, what more could I have done? What more do you want Jesus to do? You know, he gave everything, he's nothing more to give. Redemption's price has been paid in full, he has nothing more to pay. And yet you're not saved tonight. If you really knew tonight that Christ is the one that's speaking, if you really understood in your heart tonight how far he came to be your Savior, if you only knew tonight his compassion as he's seeking the lost tonight, if you only knew what it cost him to be your Savior when he died on that cruel cross, if you only knew your true condition tonight, look again at verse number 10 and Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word lost means to destroy. The idea is perishing. The lost sheep, the Bible talks about, is the same word. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. And tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost. If you're not on your way to heaven tonight, you're lost. And you're without hope tonight. You're without God tonight. You're without Christ tonight. And if you die that way, you're going to be lost in hell for all eternity. We can't make it any better this evening. We can't make it more palatable tonight. You're lost tonight. Nobody likes to be lost. No one likes to take a wrong turn. But tonight you're lost because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God this evening. Sir Francis Newport was a leading infidel. He was an atheist. And when he was dying, his atheist friends gathered around him and he said, "You need not tell me there's no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me there's no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into its fires. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I'm lost forever." What a way to die. With no hope, no refuge, and no way back. If you only knew tonight. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you only knew tonight. This is what you would do tonight. Look again at the story of Zacchaeus. You see his desire in verses 2 and 3. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature." He had a desire to see the Lord Jesus. It says he was rich. You would think he needed nothing. He'd got a great job. He seemed to have everything that anyone else would have wanted. He had a comfortable lifestyle. He had plenty of money. Things seemed to be going well for him, but there was something missing. And he knew that Jesus had the answer. And I believe you know it tonight. you know tonight there's something missing. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. If you only knew tonight, this is what you would do tonight. You'd want to see Jesus. You'd want to get right with the Lord tonight. You see the desire. You see the determination. You see, if you knew who Christ was tonight, if you knew that you're lost tonight, if you knew that you were heading to hell tonight, if you really believed that tonight, this would be your desire to get right with Jesus. This would be your determination, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Everything's against him here. The crowd's against him. There's the press. There's a crowd there. And there's no way they're going to let him into the front row. Remember, he's a despised and a hated person. So the crowd's in the way. He's small. So he can't stand at the back. He'll never see Jesus. And Jesus will never see him as far as he's concerned. Look what he does in verse 4. He ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He ran and he climbed. You know, he did whatever he could to see Jesus. If you only knew tonight, this is what you would do. You wouldn't need me to preach to you tonight. You wouldn't need me to appeal to you tonight. Listen, you would run. If you really knew tonight the spiritual condition of your soul, I don't think you know tonight. I really don't think you know tonight. I really don't think you know for one moment what it would be to be in hell for all eternity. I don't think you know tonight what Jesus Christ had to pay when he died on that center cross. I don't think you know tonight. Because if you really knew, this is what you would do. You would want to see Jesus. And listen, nothing would stand in your way. The sycamore tree, I remember being in Jericho, and there is a big sycamore tree in Jericho. Now, they don't grow very high, but the branches spread out. And if you want, you can get a leaf of this sycamore tree. It'll cost you a few shekels, and they'll tell you this is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up. I think that's a con. I don't know for sure. It might be the tree, and it might not. They tell us it's 2,000 years old. Whether it is or not, he climbed up a sycamore tree. He was able to sit in one of the branches, and he was able to see Jesus. You know, he must have looked silly. He must have looked a real fool. But you know, he wanted to see Jesus. He didn't care what anybody thought. If you really knew tonight who he was, what he has done, where you're heading to, how lost you are, listen, this is what you would do. That's why I'm praying that God will open your eyes tonight. I'm praying that God will soften your heart tonight, because you don't know where this is what you would do. You see, the detractors look down to verse number 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. He knew that people would be skeptical. He knew there'd be those who would be even scornful and angry, the fact that Jesus Christ went with this man. I wonder, is that why you're not saved? You're worried about the stick you're going to get from your friends. Listen, they're not friends if they're going to keep you from Jesus. They're not really your friends. Was he afraid of the opposition? Was he afraid of what people would say? It seems little Zacchaeus couldn't care less. He knew his own situation. He knew Jesus was passing away. And nothing and no one was going to stop him getting to Christ. And if you really knew, that's exactly what you would do. See the detractors? See how detrimental it was? You know, Zacchaeus was on a great earner. He was crooked, he was dishonest, and he knew if he was to come to Christ, that had to stop. And you know from the story, you know how he restored that which he had taken. You know how he wanted to make things right. He's repenting of his sin. Zacchaeus knew that all the money in the world wasn't worth him spending an eternity in hell. If you really knew tonight. You see, maybe it's your friends tonight. Maybe it's your finances tonight. Maybe it's your fun tonight. But listen, if you really knew, like little Zacchaeus, He said, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's not why he was saved. He was saved because he received Christ. But he did this because he was saved and he met Christ. The money didn't matter to him now. Didn't want to be dishonest anymore. The Lord Jesus had changed his life. You see the desire. He wanted to see him. You see the determination he ran. You see the detractors that wouldn't stop. You see the detrimental. Nothing was worth missing salvation for. Look at the decision in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the Lord is saying that to you tonight. Make haste and come down. Tonight's the night for you to get saved. Look what little Zacchaeus did in verse 6. He made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. There was no delay. He made haste. If you really knew tonight, you wouldn't stay up in the tree. If you really knew tonight, you wouldn't cling to that sin. You wouldn't be clinging to your friends. You wouldn't be clinging to your excuses. You would make haste. There's no delay and there's no pride. He came down. You're going to have to get off your high horse and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know this, there was no delay, there was no pride, and there was no regrets. It says he received him joyfully. What an experience you could have tonight in Rath Island Baptist Church. You could receive Christ joyfully tonight. He didn't receive him mournfully. He didn't receive him sadly. He received him joyfully. Sometimes we present salvation like a funeral. It's not. It's a feast. It's a joyous thing. It's a happy thing. You've got joy that the world can't give, and thank God the world can't take it away. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you really knew tonight, this is exactly what you would do. And then you would discover, like Zacchaeus, that all things become new. Do you get that tonight? You know, if you really knew, this is what you would do, and all things become new. Look at verse 9, he has a new freedom. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. No longer lost, he's saved. No longer in bondage to sin. He's free from sin's domination. He's free from sin's condemnation. He's saved. Praise God. He has new freedom. He has a new family in verse 9. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Yes, he was a Jew. He was a child of Abraham physically. But now spiritually, he's a child of Abraham by faith. He's part of the family of God. You see, you get a new freedom and you get a new family. I'll tell you tonight, there is no people like the people of God. And you'll discover, yes, they have their faults. And I'll be the first to point them out. And I'll be the first to admit I have plenty of them. But let me tell you, there's still no family like the family of God. It's great to be saved tonight. Not a funeral we're looking for you to come to tonight. It's a feast tonight. You have a new freedom. You have a new family. Listen, you have a new friend. Look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. He's now calling him Lord. Can you call him Lord tonight? Can you say Jesus Christ is Lord tonight? Can you say he's Lord of your life tonight? If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want to keep it simple tonight. If you really knew tonight, like little Zacchaeus knew, this is what you would do. You would run. You'd embrace Christ tonight. And listen, you would discover that all things become new. I don't know whether you read the story or not, but there was a car boot sale, I think it was last year in England. And this man went to the car boot sale and he bought a vase, or a vase, or a vase, whatever you want to call it. It cost him a tenner. He put it on eBay to try and flog this vase, and when it got to £10,000, he realized there's something about this vase. So he took it down from eBay and he took it along to one of these special auctioners. And they discovered it was part of the Qing dynasty. It was made between 1736 and 1795. This was just on the BBC News this week. And his £10 vase made £61,000. It was some bargain, wasn't it? What would the man think that sold it for a tenner? I don't know whether he knows or not. He's maybe not alive anymore. He took a heart attack. But what a waste to give something away at a tenner that was worth 60 grand. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The most precious thing you have tonight is your soul. And some people are throwing it away. You're just throwing it away. How will you feel in eternity? Oh, if you only knew tonight. If you only knew. If you really knew tonight, this is exactly what you would do. You would make haste. You would come down. And you'd receive Christ. And you'd receive him joyfully. And then all things become new. And your soul will be redeemed. And you'll be in heaven with Christ for all eternity. Will you do it tonight? Let's bow in a moment's prayer.